is happening? Welcome to another episode of The Essential 11, brought to you by Acton Academy. Acton Academy, Placer, Apogee Strong, and Discover Praxis. Check the link to learn more about what Praxis is doing. Man, my favorite post-high school program in the country. We have got a pretty cool guest today. This was not an Apogee call. So this is just a straight conversation with a man by the name of Gino Wickman. And we've been trying to put this together for a while. But he's the founder of EOS Worldwide, which is an organization helping thousands of businesses implement EOS with the aid of an international team. He's got over 350 professional and certified EOS implementers, over 100,000 companies that are using these tools worldwide. He provides all kinds of free resources and tools for entrepreneurs everywhere. I got connected with him after reading his book, Entrepreneurial Leap. This guy is a brilliant human doing a lot of great things for the entrepreneurial world. So Mr. Gino Wickman. Finally, we were saying a year, 2 years, what seems like forever in the making. Man, I am glad we're getting to make it happen.
Thrilled to do it. Glad to be here, man.
Welcome, sir. So we'll get into all the good stuff, the origin story, all the things you're doing. We'll get into the questions. But we were just talking about Jeff Sandifer too. And so anytime we can talk about Jeff Sandifer, I throw it out there. I always tell people I admire so many people. I learn from absolutely anybody, but there are only two people on this planet who I say I actually look up to them, and it's like a Yoda thing when they speak. I just shut my mouth and listen, and that's all I do. Jeff being one of those. So we got to collaborate with him recently, or speak with him relatively recently. You did?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So it was, he was connected to me through a mutual friend and fellow strategic coach student. So I get it, man. He's a cool, cool guy, crazy smart.
Yeah.
And love that he was fond of the content. That meant a lot and was quite a validation coming from him.
Well, that is huge because he is. He's a brilliant, you know, he is this brilliant human being. And he's, it's funny because they talk about in the Acton network, the balance at our schools of being warm-hearted and tough-minded, right? And he epitomizes that. I mean, he's the most gentle, generous, you know, most intelligent guy. But when it comes down to business and making decisions, and I mean, he is the most just boom, black and white. Look, here's how it is. This is what works. This is what doesn't. And he does not compromise. And I love that balance, you know? So he is a cool guy. But we're here to talk about another cool guy named Gino Wickman, man. So I always like to start with just kind of an origin story. We'll kind of see where that goes, wherever you want to start with that. And we'll kind of unpack you a little bit and all the cool stuff you're doing, all the work you've done, all the work you are doing. And we'll sprinkle in these 11 questions in the mix. Yeah. So tell us about you, sir.
Fantastic. Well, you're going to see the common thread being entrepreneurship. So that is pretty much
indeed
the summary of my life. Yeah. I am one. I am incredibly passionate about them. And have pretty much devoted my life to helping entrepreneurs in all phases. And so, you know, I'm the classic kid that grew up doing lots of entrepreneurial things. I graduated high school. There was no way on earth I was going to college. So as my friends went off to college, I just wanted to go make money. And the last thing I was going to do was spend another day in academia in a school system.
Yeah.
So with that, you know, we teach what we needed the most. And so with this book and project, we're going to talk about Entrepreneurial Leap. At 18, I was just a mislabeled derelict. I was an entrepreneur in the making. I was lost, confused. So we teach what we needed the most. And if I had this content back then, you know, my path would have been a little more focused, a little more productive. I would have gotten there faster. I really didn't figure it out till I was 29, but I did all kinds of entrepreneurial things. And ultimately found myself running the family business at 25. So I got involved in the family business. I had the world's fastest corporate climb because within a year and a half, I was running that company. Once I discovered it was in dire need of a turnaround, I was an absolute fanatic, student, a learner, and it was blessed with two great mentors, my dad and a gentleman by the name of Sam Cupp that took me under their wing. I took the reins of that business, turned the business around in 3 years. It was in some deep, ugly debt. It was kind of flatlining. I was able to turn around, like I said, in 3 years, ran it for 7 years, and then we successfully sold the business. And during that experience, I got involved in an organization called YEO, now known as EO, the Entrepreneurs Organization. And I found myself helping my EO brethren, if you will. And so after helping my dad, who was a wild and crazy visionary entrepreneur, and helping my EO brethren, I then got involved in the Strategic Coach Program, and Dan Sullivan became a mentor of mine. And that's where by 30, I realized exactly what I was. I was an entrepreneur, and I have this knack for helping entrepreneurs. And so I took a leap to go do that. And for 5 years, I kind of put the finishing touches on what is now EOS. And so I found one entrepreneur that would let me help them, and then another and another and another. And they started referring me. And I just have this ability to see patterns and trends. Mm-hmm. And like I said, help entrepreneurs. On that 5 year mark, put the finishing touches on EOS, finished writing Traction, joined forces with my partner, Don Tinney, and decided to leverage this all and help other people, help entrepreneurs the way I was. And then shoot forward in time, we now have over 400 EOS implementers all over the world teaching entrepreneurs EOS, helping them implement this system. We've helped 100,000 companies. Mm. They are running using the EOS tools. Sold lots of books. And now I've shifted my energy, half my energy and time goes into helping entrepreneurs in the making now. And that's why I wrote this book, Entrepreneurial Leap. And so, like I said, it's just all entrepreneurship. I love entrepreneurs, and I'm here to help them.
So cool, man. And obviously coming from the acting background, when we get, you know, the one bit of pushback we'll get sometimes, well, you guys think everybody should be entrepreneurs because you make every, you know, everybody's in their children's business fair. And I said, no, man, I don't think everybody should be entrepreneurs at all. I actually think most people probably shouldn't, but I think everybody gains a ton of value from that entrepreneurial mindset, right? Of trying to look for, like you said, looking for the patterns, looking for the trends. Where can I provide value? How do I continue to grow? How do I continue to adapt, you know, to an ever-changing world? I think that's valuable to absolutely anybody, no matter where you go. And one of the things that I like that you wrote, and I remember reading this, it might have been when I was reading Entrepreneurial Leap, but it says, you know, entrepreneurship is not something you do, it is something you are.
Hear, hear.
Right? It's a DNA kind of thing. So you were kind of seeing it without seeing it necessarily. I like the way you put, you know, put it as this derelict when you're younger. So how did that play? How did that play out for you with the parents, with the teachers? Having all that inside of you, you weren't, you're like, all right, traditional academia is just kind of this game. Were you supported on the home front with that? I mean, your dad's got a business, right? So were you supported by the teachers, or was it more like, ah, come play our game? How did that play out for you?
Yeah, it's two different answers. I was definitely supported at home because my dad was an entrepreneur. And ironically, there are 16 cousins in the family. And there was a point when I think 12 or 13, maybe 14 or 16 were all self-employed. So it's a very entrepreneurial family.
Yeah.
So very, very supported. My parents, they gave us a lot of freedom. Not so supported on the school,
side.
I drove my teachers nuts. I mean, nuts.
They where were you?
Like me.
Where'd you grow up? Where were you?
In Michigan.
In Michigan. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Hey. Well, I moved 9 times by the time I was 10. So one stint in Virginia for a year. A very entrepreneurial father, but not supported at all in the school
system. Totally.
But there was one teacher and one parent across the street that were incredibly supportive. They saw something in me that I didn't see in me, but the rest, man, they could not wait to get me out of that high school. So I was a handful.
Yeah, I have no doubt. But I mean, I think, again, going back to that, it's not what you do, it's what you are. I think that you have, you know, if you have that DNA in there, you figure out early on, because again, patterns, trends, you see patterns and trends in yourself. You've got that self-awareness. You see patterns and trends of what's going on, and you go, wait a second, I'm playing a game right now. This game is not resonating with what's inside me. I really want to go play a different game.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the burning, like, that's it, right? Like, that burn, it resonates with me. I mean, that was burning inside.
Here,
it's like, I gotta go play a different game.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you starting with that quote. Because, you know, again, it's not something you do, it is something you are. And so you're getting to a really important philosophy of mine that says, you know, I believe in all of my experience, 30 years of being surrounded by entrepreneurs, working with entrepreneurs, helping entrepreneurs, you know, the common thread trend pattern I've seen is a true entrepreneur has six essential traits. I believe you're born with them. They can't be taught. And so you are born with this thing. I believe 4% of the population has it. So I really appreciate what you said, because, you know, right now, being an entrepreneur is like the hot new thing. Just like everyone wanted to be a rock star in the 70s and 80s. Now they all want to be entrepreneurs. It's very dangerous, you know, and there are people actually out there that think they can teach everyone to be an entrepreneur, and that, you know, to believe you can teach 7.5 billion people how to build a company with lots of people, that is really dangerous. That's scary. That's a sin, in my opinion, my humble opinion. Half the world agrees with me, half doesn't. I'm okay with that. And so with that, I just believe you can't teach this stuff, these traits, I should say. And with that, I hope I'm wrong. You know, I hope everyone can gain them. But at the same time, it's what's dangerous is it's just not the end all be all. It's not the pinnacle in life to be an entrepreneur. It's one of many career choices.
That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's a lot of, I think it's kind of in the middle, right? So, you know, you kind of mentioned sports. And so NBA, can you teach people how to be a better basketball player? Can you give them fundamental skills, teach them the proper form for shooting, teach them how to dribble, teach them, like, you know, the basic rules of the game? You can make almost anybody a better basketball player. But to try to say every single one of them is going to go to the NBA or play is just ludicrous, right? And again, coming from the 5'9 white guy over here, odds were stacked against me, you know, it was that kind of thing. But I was also a good basketball player. But I think that's what we're talking about is these traits. Can you make people better at those traits? You bet. There are skills there that are transferable skills, right? They transfer into other areas and other career fields. But to make everybody that the entrepreneur, you know, I tend to agree with you that it is more of a DNA trait. How did you come up to that 4% number?
Yeah, it just goes back to a lot of work. Probably goes back about 15 years. So when I wrote Rocket Fuel with my co-author, Mark Winters, we did some work with Culture Index, which is a profiling tool company. And so they gave us some data around that when we were looking at kind of the pure visionary entrepreneur profile. We just kind of have done our own math and our own experience. It comes to about 3 or 4%, but for me, it leans more toward the 4% than the 3%.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, you know, with that, it's just 30 years of history at the end of the day. But that's where that number comes from.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'll pause there, but that's,
that's reason.
How we came up with
it's
that.
And again, you know, I can, it's anecdotal, but speaking, you know, being in education for coming up on two decades and at this point getting to work with tens of thousands of young people. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree, you know, as far as what you, as far as what you see from that DNA aspect.
Yeah. And the world still needs doctors and lawyers and police officers and nurses. And, you know, so it's again, it's not the end all be all. As
it
I
is
said a minute ago.
Truly not the end all be all. You're right. It is trendy. It's trendy to say it. And it's one of the easier things to pretend to be. And I think that's where we get, you know, it's dangerous. It's one of the easiest things to put now in the age of social media in your profile. And you can, you know, write entrepreneur, you can tell. It's one of the easiest things to say, hey, this is what I am, and not get verified, right? If I go and tell everybody that I'm an airline pilot, but I, you know, like that's a pretty easy thing to go, dude, you've never flown a plane. Like I can pretty much prove pretty quickly you've never flown a plane, right?
Yeah,
but
exactly,
entrepreneurs, that's a little harder to unpack. So it's a little easier to BS. And more importantly, it's a little easier for people to BS themselves, right? And claim to be an entrepreneur when they're not actually producing anything, not actually making any money.
Yeah. And with that, you know, to go a little deeper into that, let's pretend it's 1% and let's pretend it's 10%.
Yeah.
It certainly is not more than 10%.
Sure as hell
and again, so in all of my experience, I would say it's about 4%. Let's go deeper into it though, from a standpoint of, I'll quickly rattle off what those six essential traits are.
Because my
I
next
always
question.
Love to get your audience engaged and just to get them to start to, as I like to say, scan their body and see if they resonate with these. And I also know you have a lot of parents and mentors that listen to this. And so I'm trying to help them help the person or the people in their lives. So the six essential traits are visionary, passionate, problem solver, driven, risk taker, and responsible. And so I've created an assessment called the Entrepreneur in the Making Assessment. It's free online, e-leap.com at the website. If you score 90 or higher, it's just another data point, but odds are you possess all six essential traits. The other thing I would share that really helps, for lack of a better term, take the sting off, because you know, I break some hearts with this information and this knowledge and this book, because where everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, not everybody's cut out to be one.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I feel like I'm doing a service to the world because I'm saving lives. I'm helping people not spend 10 years in misery doing something that they probably shouldn't do. So the second point is, there's something I teach in the book called the entrepreneurial range, which kind of helps the understanding of this. And so if you picture this arc, and on the far right side of the arc are the words true entrepreneur, and the far left side of the arc are the words self-employed. Mm. And so anyone that has their own business is somewhere on that entrepreneurial range. Mm-hmm. Well, if we take it one step further, when we talk about the range, on the far left side, these are the one person shows, the people with a side hustle, the solopreneur, the freelancer, somebody with a lifestyle business. To the far right side, the true entrepreneurs, these are the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. Elon Musk, Oprah Winfrey, Sarah Blakely, Henry Ford, Walt Disney, Steve Jobs. And so everyone who's self-employed is somewhere on that range.
Yeah.
The point is that people with the six essential traits are on the right side of that range.
Yep.
Doesn't mean you're going to be the next Elon Musk necessarily, but it means you're going to build an organization with people.
Yep.
The other point is, it's okay if you score low on the assessment. It's okay if you don't have the six essential traits. You can still be self-employed, because if you have handy skills, as an example, you could go be a handyman, handy woman, charge $60 an hour, make $100,000 a year, be self-employed, be totally free, and that ain't a bad gig.
Yep.
The point is, though, if you do that and you have the six essential traits, you're not going to be able to stop yourself from thinking, if I hire someone, pay him $25 an hour, I'll make a profit, frees me up to go sell more jobs. You're going to end up with a construction company within years because you can't stop yourself.
That's right.
Where it's okay at the end of the day, if you just decide, I'm going to make this $100,000 for the next 20 years, be an amazing handy person.
Yep.
So anyway, point is, you're somewhere on that range if you yearn to have your own business. And if you don't have the six essential traits, you're probably not building an empire, and that's okay.
And that's actually the word that I wrote down too, is empire. As you were talking about that, it's like, you can't help yourself. You want to go. The mission is just grander, and you cannot stay away from that when you kind of have that DNA side of that. So if people are going through and they're doing this assessment, do you see in those six traits, I guess this is kind of a two-part question, and I think I might know the answer, or kind of what you'd say. But so, do you see one of those six or two of those six that most commonly are the ones that the people don't hit? I guess would be kind of the first part. And if somebody scores relatively low, say when they're 15, 16, do you ever see that change? Maybe all of a sudden they're 30. And they've acquired the, you know, the responsible was something that they just were missing as a youth, but they've added that now, and everything else is there. Or, you know, what do you think about those two things? Where do they miss, and is it possible to change?
Yeah. Well, you're not going to like the answer because it's pretty straightforward, but I love it because I want to go a little deeper. Yeah. But again, I believe you're born with them. And so these show up in you your whole life.
I agree.
And responsible is a great one to focus on. So I want to say a couple things here, because, you know, there are people that are often surprised to see, of the six essential traits of an entrepreneur, how responsible makes the cut, because it seems so boring compared to some of the other ones that have so much sizzle. But, you know, responsible as a trait, you are born with that trait. And it's just a matter of, at 16 years old, look back on your life. And when things go wrong, are you blaming everyone else?
Yep.
Or are you looking at yourself? And so what the reason I know this is a trait that you're born with is, look at families with 2 to 4 kids, and look at your siblings, and you can put them in one of two categories. The world is divided between two things. There are people, when something bad happens, they blame everyone else. or they look to themselves, they look in the mirror, they blame themselves, they take responsibility for the issue. And we can all, so we can put our siblings in each one. How is it possible that a family of four, two of the kids are this way, two are that way, same parents, same household, same raise, same everything. How does that happen? There can only be one thing, and that is you are born with that trait.
Yep.
So to your point, you know, a 15-year-old, just look back on your life. Have you always defaulted to take responsibility? The visionary trait, have you always kind of had ideas? You know, you just kind of think a little bit different than everyone else. It's not like you're inventing the next Tesla, you know, at 12 years old, but do you have ideas? You know, as simple as cutting a lawn, having a lemonade stand, being creative. You know, I heard a great story. One of the visionaries that I interviewed for this book, he talked about how when he was 6 years old, he not only had a lemonade stand, but he franchised the concept to his friends. And so they were all in a corner and he was getting a percentage of everything that they generated. I mean, that's pretty visionary at 6 years old.
Right.
But the point is you've had ideas your whole life and you tend to think a little bit different than your friend.
Yeah.
So the other part of your question, no, there aren't one or two that's typically missing and that's why you're not an entrepreneur. But I do... write an entire chapter on what if you're missing a trait. And we don't have time to go way deep into that answer, but you know, simple examples of if you have all of the other traits and not the visionary trait, you're going to make one heck of a salesperson. Because you just lack that ability to have lots of ideas and be very creative with but you're going to be amazing as a salesperson. And, you know, salespeople are some of the highest paid people of all careers. So that ain't all bad. So it's not one or two that you're missing. You could have, we could go through each of the six and just simply say, you know, this person's missing this, this person's missing that. There's no correlation. Just you have to have all six to be a true entrepreneur. And like I said, you know, so you could be visionary and have none of the others. So you're this kind of creative genius, you know, so you might find yourself, you know, being an artist, you might find yourself being a musician. So again, that visionary creative gene is in you, but you just don't have a lot of drive. You don't take responsibility. And so again, we could go through each one, but no, there isn't just one or two that, that show up all the time in a non-entrepreneur.
No, I mean, roughly what I thought you were going to say. So yeah, I could not agree more. And I love that, you know, you point out that household. I've gotten to do quite a few keynotes for quite a few organizations, including one this last week. And we talked very specifically about that phenomenon you mentioned, you know, mom and dad, same household, same surrounding. It's the whole nature versus nurture thing, but the two kids are vastly different. We talk about that split that takes place. And we, you know, we talk about it a lot of times from a generational context and taking a look at the whole, you know, 80 million millennials, and half of them are just crushing things. Half of them have this delayed adulthood and all this entitlement. And you see it play out in that same household. And there's really, you know, that's always the question that I get afterwards is like, I get it. I see it playing out. I see it playing out here at work. I see it playing out in my own house with my own kids, or, you know, it played out this way with my brother and I, and we're split. But why? I mean, we can try to get all of these, you know, cultural phenomenon, all these different, it comes down to that DNA. It does. It comes down to just the nature.
Right.
Fascinating.
I'm not a career coach and I can't tell you all the other jobs based on what traits you do and don't have. All I can tell you is, you know, I'm an expert on entrepreneurs. And I know these are the six essential traits for entrepreneurs. So there's some other expert to tell you if you should be a cop, go in the military, become a doctor, become an attorney. That I'm not that smart, but I, you know, no entrepreneur.
See that. I love it. What was the family biz that you
started? It was sales training in the real estate industry. My dad created a sales training program that revolutionized how real estate agents are trained.
Very cool. So do you get to stay in that space a little bit now? I mean, when you're helping other entrepreneurs, do you guys still
work? Really interesting. I got out of that space. I was out of that space for 15 years. And now all of a sudden the real estate industry is embracing all of my EOS and traction content.
Very
so I'm
cool.
coming back to the industry now. I'm back to my roots again. It's so, so interesting.
That's awesome,
Short
man.
Short answer is yes.
Yeah, that's very cool. One of my good, David Green, you listen to Bigger Pockets? Have you heard that podcast at all?
Bigger Pockets. I have heard of it,
And David Green and his whole real estate team, they're phenomenal folks. We're throwing a TEDx here in a couple months out here in Roseville. And he's going to come out here and speak. He's solid guy and very much into this space. So, very cool. We got it. Now, one of the questions, one of the first questions that the young people have are, you know, talking about mentors and how important the mentors you had. And you kind of mentioned some of those mentors that you had along the way. How important do you see that for our young people? Do you think we have shifted into a place where we're seeing it less and less? And it's a little bit of a loaded question. I have a mentorship program as well, right? We've got the schools that we're building, and then Tim Kennedy and I have this mentorship program that we built for young men, you know, all over the world. And so we've got young guys that are joining us every Friday. They're taking on projects and challenges, and it's a year-long mentorship program, and we're connecting with these guys every single week because we felt like it was something that, you know, direct male-to-male mentoring was lacking. Do you think that's something that young people are getting less of?
Yeah, well, to answer your question, I think it's vital, you know, and to anchor some of this content, just to give your audience a context, the way that I wrote this book is in three parts: confirm, glimpse, and path. And so in confirm, we first confirm that you are an entrepreneur in the making before we even talk about the glimpse and the path, because again, that's where that can be dangerous. Glimpse, I show a glimpse of the life, and that lights a true entrepreneur up. And path then shows a path, how to get there, how to eliminate half the mistakes you're going to make, and how to increase your odds of success. And so you're actually asking a path-related question. Yeah. I just want to anchor this as to where to find what I'm about to share.
Yeah.
So I literally write an entire chapter on mentoring.
Yep.
I think it's vital. So with that, I'll say a couple of things about it. You know, I was blessed to have three mentors in my life that changed my life. And so, you know, think about it as an entrepreneur. If we have someone out there, and let's pretend they ultimately decide, you know, they want to build a $5 million heating and cooling company. And so I always like to use an example that's non-tech, because everybody thinks all entrepreneurship is tech, and it's not.
No,
that's like this
doubt.
Much of the entrepreneurial world. So let's pretend that student out there wants to build a $5 million heating and cooling company with 40 people. Well, to the degree they can go find the owner of a $5 million heating and cooling company and be mentored by them, it's a speed pass to getting to where you want to go faster, because you learn from all of their mistakes as opposed to having to figure it all out yourself. And so I teach a very specific process for finding a mentor, structuring that relationship, and how to manage that relationship. What is a little bit different nowadays? You know, so 30 years ago when I was coming up, you know, it was pure mentoring. What's different now is we have a lot of paid mentors. You know, I'm a paid mentor. You know, I'm a business coach.
Yep.
I'm mentoring my entrepreneur clients, and they're paying me to do that. So it's a little bit different. We have masterminds now, and that's a form of mentoring. And then we have a wealth of knowledge. You go to YouTube and spend a day on YouTube and just search the category that you're passionate about, you can get a lot of mentoring that way.
Yeah.
So it's a little different now than what it was, but I am very, very fond of the one-to-one relationship, knowing what it did for me in my life. And so if you can find that mentor that will take you under your wing, under their wing, in the area that you want to go, it is, like I said, it's an absolute speed pass to success.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think you're right. I mean, everything is, there is so much information that is readily available through YouTube, through books, through, I mean, there's so much that is free and available, and you can get exponentially further than you ever could before. But that one-to-one, it does, it just takes it to a different level. You know, we mentioned Jeff earlier, and you know, I've got one other gentleman named Chris, and it's, there is no substitute for that one-to-one relationship. You know, there just isn't. It just, it can't be touched and duplicated. So yeah, I fully agree. The next couple questions are related to kind of confidence and anxiety and kind of the relationship there. And again, taken from the perspective of these young people, you know, where they're going, hey, what does it talk, you know, what does it look like developing self-confidence as this young person? You know, do you think young people are more anxious than their generational predecessors? And anything, so taking that into the relationship with these true, purebred, entrepreneurial DNA, what have you seen play out? True entrepreneurs, man, what does that look like on the confidence side? Is that something, do you feel like they've got more confidence, have better control over the anxiety naturally? Or do you think it's like they're more self-aware about needing the confidence and being able to deal with the anxiety? Where do you fall in that when it comes to those things?
Well, we could do a whole podcast on this topic.
I have no doubt.
So I would say a couple of things. You know, it does seem that our young people are a lot more anxious than what we were growing up.
Yes, sir.
And worst case, maybe, or the difference might be we were just as anxious, but, you know, they didn't send us off to therapy. They just let us get our ass kicked a little bit and toughen up, you know.
True story.
You know, I do feel like our kids are much more coddled today than they were when we were coming up.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that they're not allowed to bump their head and fall as much as we were. You know, I mean, it's like the sun came up and the front door opened and then we'd come back when the sun went down and nobody was checking on us. And we did a lot of wild and crazy stuff. And I believe that's all part of life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that and with the coddling, I think that that's creating a lot of anxiety because they don't know how to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, I know how to survive. You know, throw me into the jungle and I can survive because I've had my ass kicked. I've been in 20 fist fights. Mm-hmm. You know, you get in a fist fight today and you're thrown out of school for a month and you have to go to therapy for a year. I mean, that, I don't know that that teaches somebody survival skills.
No, so
it's just different. And then what I would add to all of that is, you know, call it self-confidence, call it what you want to call it. Fear is real, but fear is good, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing a podcast earlier this week, and the question came up about that. And one of the audience members asked about fear and what do you do about fear? And it was in the vein of, you know, maybe I shouldn't take my leap because I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you kidding me? I've been afraid for 30 years.
Yep.
You know, I was terrified. But courage is acting in the face of fear.
That's right.
So fear is normal. And so all of a sudden, if you're having fear and you think there's something wrong with that fear, that's not a good formula because it's okay to be afraid.
Yep.
You know, it sounds like you speak. It's like every time I go on stage, I'm anxious. Mm-hmm. I'm fearful. I'm nervous. And that's what makes me sharper and better. You know,
totally.
It keeps me on my toes. So I haven't done anything without being afraid, but I still move forward and I act in the face of that fear. So fear is good. And then confidence, you know, I just believe confidence comes. And so, you know, fake it till you make it. I'm a subscriber in that where don't be artificial, you know, be authentic, be real. And I remember in my early days of speaking, I would say two things. Number one, I'm nervous. I can't remember the second thing now, but I would just tell the audience I'm nervous. And that was a way of just admitting that I'm nervous.
Yeah.
But fear is good. Fear is okay. Fear doesn't mean you're weak. Fear doesn't mean there's something wrong, but you need to move forward when you are afraid.
Yeah.
That's true courage.
No doubt.
I don't know if in there is the answer to your question,
no doubt. I agree.
Something's different.
I agree. Things are different, but what remains the same is that, you know, exactly what you're saying. I think that fear is just part of human nature and that courage is acting during that time, right? You can't even be courageous if the fear is not there, right? So when the fear is there, you have the opportunity to be courageous and go forward. And I think that's where, you know, my personal opinion is that's where the self-confidence actually comes from is because you've courageously moved towards that fear. You've done something, you've gotten whatever the outcome was, good outcome, bad outcome, you know, middle of the road, but now you have pushed forward, you have that experience to draw back from, and that's what actually develops real self-confidence because you actually tried something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't fake that.
And it's like as you were talking there, what that prompted is, you know, it's life is hard.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if anybody's telling you anything other than that, there's a line in a movie is they're lying to you. Life is hard.
Yep.
And to be told that it's not is really dangerous.
Yeah,
and
I
so
agree.
It's okay to be afraid, but you still need to move
still
forward
persevere.
And be courageous.
Yep, absolutely. One of the questions is more just, it's less about kind of the entrepreneurial side and just more you in general. And you know, just looking at you here, and it looks like you stay in good physical shape. How important has that been in the entrepreneurial journey? Just kind of your own physical health and managing that? Because that is one thing, you know, that I've seen in working with a number of organizations too. And you get a lot of guys that I've had tell me, I've been so busy building this empire. Like I couldn't help, but the one thing I sacrificed was my own physical health. Right. And so how important has that been in your journey? What does that look like for you?
Huge. In my 20s, I did not take care of myself at all. Really? I thought I was bulletproof.
Yeah.
When I did that turnaround in the family business, I mean, I borderline killed myself. Yeah. So I was really out of shape.
Yep.
But what's nice is I have my aha moment at around 31.
Okay.
And I realized how important health was. And so since that day, 22 years ago, I take really good care of myself. I'm not a nut, but I do eat very well.
Yep.
And I exercise pretty often,
yeah,
you know, once or twice a week. It's not like I'm going 5 days a week. It's intense when I do, but it's at this point in life, eating right, exercising and sleeping well, I mean, you can't argue with the facts. You just do those three things and you've got 90% of this thing licked.
True
story. So if you're not doing those three things, now is the time to start.
True story.
Been proven too many times.
Yep.
And everything's better. Your energy, your clarity. Yes on all of the above.
Very cool. No, love it. I mean, could not agree more. So I want to switch this into the kind of the school realm a little bit, because we do have some young people that are listening. So I kind of want to do kind of two in a row. One, so just in general, is there anything you would change about school, knowing your experiences as an entrepreneur, knowing that, again, only 4% of these young students in schools have that true entrepreneur, you know, kind of DNA. Is there anything you would shift around the way traditional school is structured? And then kind of the caveat on that is, you know, at Acton, we do have some focus that's on some of the real world financial advice, right? We want them to be financially literate. And there's a number of different ways we go about doing that. So I'd be interested to hear, what would you change about school? And when it comes to the financial, you know, literacy part, is there any specific advice you gave your own kids when it comes to that? So what about school first?
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, I'm not going to give you the perfect school answer, but I do have some thoughts. And with that, I am convinced that our school system is not structured for an entrepreneur. You know, I'm speaking from experience.
Sure.
But with that, I have the utmost empathy and sympathy and compassion for teachers, because how the heck do you teach, you know, 30 different kids in a generic school system that are going to become 30 different things? It's so hard. And then you throw in an entrepreneur that almost always has ADD and ADHD. You know, I have ADD, I have OCD, I'm a mess. But but with that, it's to have to teach each one of these kids, it's just very challenging. So I have compassion and empathy
100%.
For that is 100%. Trying to do that. With that said, you know, my wish is that every kid could have customized education and training for their thing. My God, could you imagine? And I don't even know that this is possible, but I'm sure it's coming, where, you know, at 5, 6, 7 years old, you know your genetic encoding, and then you're taught, trained, educated on that path. And so, like I talk about the 4%, you know, the sooner one of the 4% know they're an entrepreneur, there is a better way to educate them. So I write an entire chapter called College or Not.
Yep.
And I've interviewed, it was really interesting, because every college graduate MBA entrepreneurial client I've had, I would ask them for 20 years, are you using anything you learned from your MBA in college as an entrepreneur? And in every case, they say no, they're not using anything they learned. So, you know, how shocking is that? And so I was biased for a while, but then I started asking a follow-up question when I started writing this book. And I asked them, knowing everything you know now, would you go back to college? And in almost every case, they say yes.
Because they can be intentional.
They talk about, and again, this is all in that chapter, a much deeper dive, but they talk about how the relationships they formed in college was the number one value they got. Number two was the opportunity to practice their entrepreneurial skills, selling t-shirts, candy, whatever it was. And then in addition to that, I asked them, what do you believe are the top courses that an entrepreneur should take if they do go to college? Right. And it's just a very unique answer, and I couldn't have them memorize it. I couldn't.
Yeah.
My point is, it's a very different path for an entrepreneur. It's a very different path for an attorney. It's a very different path for a doctor. And so I just wish, you know, there were these perfect customized paths. Now, outside of that, financial planning, goal setting, survival skills, that would be really nice if those three things were taught in school, because I am deeply concerned about our financial illiteracy that exists. Yeah. There's such an opportunity there. And so, you know, with my kids, I'm a fanatic about teaching them those basic skills. Goal setting, same thing. Survival skills, I try to make them as independent as humanly possible. So those are the things at the top of my list if I had my way.
I love it. Yeah. And I remember that chapter of the book too. And I remember going back and seeing the courses that they had responded saying they'd be intentional about. And I remember psychology in there. I remember, you know, sales in there. I remember kind of that list. It was a little while, maybe the first time we were going to get together that I read it. So, but I remember that list and I completely understand that part of it. Yeah. And you're right. As far as the financial literacy and the amount of, illiterate people from a financial standpoint that we have is something we've very much got to mitigate. I like that you add the survival skills in there too. You know, I think learning to survive, to grow your own food, to be self-sufficient in all these different ways. I think that's an extremely valuable
skill.
Yeah,
and even if there were a way to simulate just a week of hell of getting your butt kicked.
Totally. Solving
your own problems.
Yeah, man. The independence alone. Yeah, I agree 100%. So shifting gears just a little bit. So let's say a young person that now comes out of high school, or maybe they come out of college and they go, okay, I love this EOS thing is amazing. I love what I'm reading, here with Gino. I don't have all six traits. I am not a purebred entrepreneur, but I'm a good worker, and I really like what he is doing in his mission. So that young person comes to you and says, Gino, I want to work for you. What do you want to see from that young person that would make you go, okay, you know what? I might take a chance on this person.
Interesting. So, first of all, you said EOS, it's entrepreneurial leap, just so we're putting the content in the right category.
Yep.
EOS is once you start your business and you have employees, EOS.
Got it.
Before you start your business, you need entrepreneurial leap. So when you say that, you know, it's really interesting because I can default to the easy ones, which are, you know, a hard worker, you know, somebody who just works hard.
Yeah.
I believe nothing replaces that,
and
everyone needs to work hard. Work ethic is primary. But for me, whenever I'm hiring someone, you know, they have to have my core values, the company's core values. And so those are things like do the right thing. That's the integrity piece.
Yeah.
Do what you say. That's the follow through piece. Be humbly confident. So I abhor arrogance. Mm-hmm. And so I love humbly confident people. But what's important to understand is those are my core values. Those are our organization's core values. And every organization is different.
Right.
So I would hire to my core values. And then I would hire to the skill set of the seat I'm trying to fill.
Sure.
So it's definitely, they have to have those core values. But from a skill set standpoint, you know, if I'm hiring a finance person, they have to have financial skills. If I'm hiring a salesperson, they have to have sales skills. So that is job specific in that second piece.
Yeah, but I think what I appreciate about that answer too is that you showed the emphasis on the core values part, because at the end of the day, that is, as somebody else who hires, like, that is my first, you know, you want to see a skill set that matches. You want to see, you know, as close to a DNA match even on that you know, specific role as possible for sure. But if the core values are not evident, and that person, you're like, it's a little bit of a wild card. Am I going to get along with them? Are my customers going to be able to engage with them? Are the other boys and girls here at work going to get along, right? Like, that is an absolute deal breaker. I mean, that just, it just is, because you can always add to the skills, you can help, but, you know, these core values, it's got to be something that is ingrained within them. And I think we miss that sometimes. I think we focus a little too much sometimes from a job seeker point of view on just the other component.
And when we're talking about the EOS content, you know, we're teaching every EOS client, you got to discover your core values and hire those core values.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, you know, hard work doesn't show up in my core values, because for me, it's permission to play.
Yeah.
If you don't work hard, you aren't going to survive a week in my world.
Yep.
So
yep.
Everyone works hard around me. It's non-negotiable. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Certainly live a balanced life. Certainly take time off. But when you're working, man, we go hard around here.
That's right. Yeah.
That's your
ticket
to do it.
That's your ticket to entry. Yeah. No, absolutely. One of the last questions on here, and this is one of my favorite ones, and it talks to, or I guess asks about where you may be counterculture in nature. And so the specific question that we got was, what is a piece of common knowledge that everybody knows, man, this is just the way things are. But Gino goes, yeah, I disagree with that sentiment.
Wow.
It's a tough one. It's my favorite one, because it is a tough one. It makes people pause. It makes people.
And here's what's tough is, I know I have the answer. I'm just hoping I pick the right one, because this is one that I'm going to be laying in bed tonight. I'm going to go, oh my God.
I should have said that.
Because everything I do is counterculture.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I have lived an unconventional life.
Yeah.
So I might have to give you two or three, but I'll give them to you fast. And I just hope I don't miss the best one or the most important one.
So
as an entrepreneur, it is possible to be balanced and take time off. You know, I built EOS Worldwide for 20 years, brutally hard.
Yeah.
In the toughest times, I still took the month of August off every year for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so everybody thinks you got to keep your nose to the grindstone 24/7. When you're working, you got to work hard, but it is possible to say, this is how much time I'm going to carve out for work, because you could work 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, right? I mean, that's not possible.
Yeah.
So at some point
you
get to pick how much time. That's number one. Number two is, you know, I call it letting your freak flag fly. My wish for every young person out there is just to be yourself as soon as possible. Be vulnerable, be real. And the world is going to have a problem with that. There's so much judgment that exists in the world that you got to put on this facade until you're finally in your 50s and you don't care what people think anymore.
Right.
Man, for an 18-year-old to embrace and understand that, oh, it'd be life-changing, because they would be themselves faster and I believe be happier and more successful.
Yeah.
And then, man, what would I pick next? Counterculture. Maybe those. So those are the best two I've got.
Those are solid, man. Those are solid. And I think, and I completely resonate with both of those. You know, I'm obsessed with this mission of growing this, you know, this movement and what we're doing with the Acton Academies and the mentorship. And even on my days off, I'm sitting there, you know, the ideas just don't stop. And I'm like, ooh, okay, all right, you know, I'm just going to go map this out really quickly, because this is going to, you know, and it does not stop. I know I could stop it. I know I should stop it sometimes and kind of get that, you know, kind of get that balanced perspective. So I fully get that. And I know the wheels would not come off. So I fully get that. And then the being yourself part of that, and being yourself, meaning that authentic, and you know what, the world is going to have a problem with it, at least somebody in it, but I'm fully okay with that and emotionally okay with that, because there's also going to be so many people that are so supportive of it. And being yourself doesn't mean being yourself just like everybody else, because that's not being yourself. There is only one you. It is your DNA. So yeah, no, I feel those. I love that. So you going forward, the next few years, For you, what does that look like? What kind of goals do you have set for yourself? What are the things that you are actively working on right now?
Yeah, great. Well, one of the things I teach in this book, I write a chapter on, I call it Take Action, But Be Patient. And I'm teaching the concept of 10-year thinking. So what you're about to hear in my answer is I'm a 10-year thinker. Yep. And my passionate plea for the world is shift your thinking to 10-year timeframes and everything's better. Mm-hmm. Time slows down. There's a peace that comes over you and you get there faster. Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, I completed a 20-year goal last year, which was for us EOS implementers to take 10,000 companies through the process. We've now, in addition to that, helped 100,000 companies. The 10-year goal that I'm in the middle of now is to impact 1 million entrepreneurs in the making. That's why I wrote the book. That's why you and I are having this conversation. And so that's the goal right now. That's the mission. That's the plan. That's the goal. And so that's the biggie that I'm focused on for this next now 8.5 years, because I'm already 1.5 years into it.
I love it, man.
So I spend half my life on EOS stuff and half my life on entrepreneurial leap stuff. In terms of my entrepreneurial leap stuff, in terms of my working life,
yeah,
that's how my time is divided.
It's divided
right
50-50. Yeah. That's very cool. And I love that 10-year thinking. You know, it's the patiently impatient. You know, I mean, that's every day as an impatient, here we go. And then that's where you're working hard. And when you're in it, you're in it. But you're really looking for those outcomes, you know, a decade later, and having that patience and having that patience there.
You can build anything in 10 years. Yep. So even, you know, talking to the 15-year-old out there, if you just understand that, oh, you don't need it all tomorrow. And just picture what your life could look like at 25. And you'll get there and you'll probably exceed it, quite frankly.
No doubt.
So everybody wants it now.
No doubt about it. No, so good. Any specific legacy that you want to leave? And the way the question has come across, or the way we've kind of framed it, is, you know, let's say, you know, God gives you a call today and goes, hey, Gino, that's congratulate you. You know, you're 1.5 years into this final 10 years, but I got news for you. You know, it's actually tomorrow, man, time's up. So, you know, say your goodbyes, you've done your thing, you've done a great job. We're going to go ahead and put that headstone in the ground, and you can leave with just one last quote or lasting impression, one last thought. And this is kind of your, you know, everybody can remember Gino by sort of deal. Is there anything for you legacy wise, quote wise, anything you'd want to put on that?
Yeah, for sure. And again, just like hard work is kind of permission to play from a business hiring standpoint, me going down in history as a great father and husband is like table stakes. That's like, doesn't even need to be said.
Yeah.
That's priority one to me.
Yep.
But in terms of a legacy beyond that, it's really simple. And it's that I've helped millions of entrepreneurs fully realize their freedom, creativity, and impact on the world.
Yeah.
That's it. That's why I'm here.
I love it, man. And it's because you have that vision. You obviously have the passion, right? You got that drive. You've taken all the risks. You're solving problems for 1 million people. And obviously that personal responsibility is something that you're taking on, man. Those 6 traits. Dude, so good. I'm so glad we finally got to do this. So the very last question that's on here is, prior to hearing where they can go to get your books and find out what's going on, anybody else too that you're like, hey, young people, here's another person to kind of take a look at, somebody just to kind of keep your eyes on, and just we can give a shout out to anybody else that you're liking so far. And then from there, we want to hear where people can go to connect with you, get the books, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you bet. So the number one thing, top of the list, the first book I recommend to every young person and old person that thinks they're an entrepreneur or wants to start the success journey is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
That's right.
A must read. That's like the foundation. Yep. That's 101 stuff right there.
Totally.
So that's what I would recommend.
So good.
And then from there, all things Entrepreneur Leap. The epicenter is the website, e-leap.com. You know, assuming we're talking to parents and teachers, you know, and collaborators out there, please use this content. You know, most of it is free on the website. Yes, the only thing you pay for in what I'm offering is the book, if you want to take it that far. And so if you have somebody in your life that you think is one of the 4%, read the book yourself, because it will help you understand them better, and then get them to read the book.
Right.
And obviously, if you're a young person out there listening, go to the website, download all the tools. There's a great 1 hour exercise we call the 1-2-3 roadmap, and it ties to each of the three parts of the book, confirm, glimpse, path. And so the confirm step and tool is to take the assessment. The glimpse tool is my biz match to find the perfect business for you. And you'll see all the industries, types of businesses to choose from. And then the third in path is my vision clarifier. In an hour, you will literally have a roadmap for the business you want to start a better startup, as we say. So just start using the tools. I put out a video every week, an article every other week. So just absorb this content. It's all designed to help an entrepreneur in the making take their entrepreneurial leap and be very, very successful. And like I said, most of it is free. You're crazy not to take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's very cool, man. Well, I'm very appreciative of that. Very appreciative of the work you're doing as somebody who is definitely a purebred entrepreneur. I wish I had something like this to, you know, but I'm glad for the journey that I've had, but this would have been an amazing thing to have too. And I know you're serving, so many people with this too. So very, very grateful for you, sir. Grateful for your time today pouring into these young people.
Thanks, man. Had a blast. You're quite a guy.
Appreciate you. All right, man. So head over to e-leap.com and check out all of the free resources there. Also, highly recommend you grabbing any of the books that Gino has thrown out there as well. So I hope you enjoyed that and appreciate you all listening. Hopefully you will share, comment, review, all that good stuff that helps us continue to roll on our mission. So appreciate you guys. We'll catch you next time on The Essential 11.